Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish your outdoor wood projects with Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Australian Timber Oil is an exterior stain that provides maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency, making it ideal for decks, siding, outdoor furniture, and more. Save big money at Menards on Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Find mom's best gift at Target with 20 to 40% off select apparel, jewelry, chocolates, and more. There are endless options to choose from to show her she's the best. Save up to 40% on gifts for mom now through Mother's Day, only at Target. Restrictions apply.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Yesterday evening, as you will know, Queen Elizabeth II, Britain's longest serving monarch, died at the age of 96 after a 70-year reign. It was a period during which the country went through significant political, social and technological change. Her son Charles immediately succeeds her as King Charles II, and his wife Camilla has become Queen Consort. Joining me to discuss the Queen's lengthy career and what Britain is set for over the next 10 days is Professor of Monarchy Anna Whitelock. Anna, when you look at her, the monarch who had the previous longest reign, it was Queen Victoria for, I think, 63 years. And if you look at the changes that have happened in the century that Queen Elizabeth II dominated versus the century that Queen Victoria dominated, it was a remarkable period of change and development during her tenure, was it not?
It absolutely was. I mean, if we think back to the beginning of the Queen's reign, communication was through telegram, and now it's tweet. Travel across the world took many days. It now takes several, just hours. The world has changed. Deference, respect, hierarchy, those kind of things have been eroded to a large extent. I think the point that Keir Starmer made yesterday, and indeed Prince Charles, now King Charles, made some years ago, was that his mother, the late Queen, has been a fixed point in a changing world. And her constancy in that world of unprecedented change has been quite remarkable. And so too the fact that the monarchy has retained popularity and relevance, really, even though it's so at odds with the age, an age of diversity, inclusivity, equality, those values that are writ large in society and institutions, are completely at odds with the monarchy, of course, which is all about privilege, hierarchy, birthright, not merit. But somehow still, it's retained a relevance, and the Queen maintained a respect and, of course, an affection, not just in the United Kingdom, not just in the other countries where she's head of state, but also around the world.
And again, to go back to that comparison between Victoria and Elizabeth, if you look at Victoria's reign, it was common at that point for significant Western countries to have a monarchical system and a monarch as head of state. During Elizabeth's reign, the number of countries who had such a structure waned significantly. Is it thanks to her that the monarchy retained its position of relevance in the UK?
I think so. And I mean, we won't know for months, several years, perhaps, whether the support by the majority of the population in the UK, not everybody, of course, was support for really her rather than the monarchy per se. And now with her passing, that support is going to wax and wane. We don't yet know. And I think that's going to be the challenge for Prince Charles, now King Charles, to find a voice for a constitutional monarch in the 21st century that builds on his mother's legacy. He can't step into her shoes. She is irreplaceable. But he needs to somehow fashion an identity of relevance to and command, if not the deep affection that his mother had, at least respect for his position.
How well did Queen Elizabeth II balance the requirement for monarchy to have tradition and constancy in ceremony and in actions with the changing and adapting to the newer world?
Yeah, I mean, I think she did that very well. I mean, it was gradual, almost imperceptible changes, but they were there. You know, the website for the monarchy, the Queen, understanding the need to engage in a light-hearted way with her people, whether it be the James Bond sketch at the London Olympics, or even most recently with her sketch with Paddington Bear. She sort of moved with the times, but at the same time was above the times and set apart from them. And I think that's what people are reflecting on now, even if people aren't, you know, diehard monarchists and are rather sceptical or cynical about it all. I think there is a sense of just the loss of this anchor point, the fact this woman has been there for most of our lives, if not all of our lives, and, you know, on coins, on stamps. Her image is everywhere. And now in such a world of change, and I mean, the change we've seen even just this week with a new prime minister and so on, the Queen always was there. Her first prime minister was Winston Churchill, and now she's gone. And there is this sense of an anchor being pulled up and slightly now United Kingdom being all at sea and a bit adrift.
There's a lot of discussion about her sense of duty and her sense of moral responsibility to the role that she held. Ironically, though, it was unlikely at the outset that she would ever hold that role. She was not brought up with the expectation that she would be queen.
No, it was only because of her uncle's abdication, Edward VIII, to marry Wallis Simpson, that her father became King George VI. And then this, you know, young woman suddenly was thrust into the position of being heir to the throne. So she wasn't destined to be queen, and then became queen at a relatively young age, in her 20s, newly married with young children. And she's grown up in the glare of the public, and the media, of course, itself has evolved over the course of her reign. It was the queen who really actually instigated by her late husband, Prince Philip, who decision was taken to televise the coronation. And that really marked the beginning of this media monarchy that we have now. And the media and the monarchy are very necessary bedfellows. They are, the media is the means by which the monarchy is made, you know, made visible for many people, both in the United Kingdom and around the world. And that transition, that relationship was really forged and evolved during the Queen's reign.
And how much did she change the monarchy's openness to the general public? Because I think back to her role as an auxiliary in the Second World War. I think back to her own description of walking through the streets of London after VE Day, where she was literally arm in arm with the general populace, which is not something that a monarch would have done, or a future monarch would have done, in previous generations.
Yeah, she did begin to, I mean, she inaugurated the Royal Walkabout, for example, that sense of being seen to be believed. I mean, she was a tiny figure, but wore bright pastel colours quite deliberately, because she knew that people wanted to see her. And she knew that that link, that sighting of her was really important to reaffirm the bonds, really, between the monarch and the people. And that's, you know, an age old trope, really, of monarchy. Royal progresses of the past were there for the monarch to be seen by the people, and the Queen understood that. But also, both her and, of course, then through the influence of Diana, through now into her son William, there is this accessible, much more demonstrative, sort of emotionally articulate royal family talk about feeling stuff. The Queen, of course, never really did. Although in her latter years, sometimes in statements she made or in the Christmas broadcast, there was a sense of what she felt, pride, disappointment when Harry and Meghan decided to step back from official duties, obviously sadness on the death of her husband. So we have glimpsed more the emotional Queen. But ultimately, the Queen has straddled the role of being matriarch, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and also monarch. And in that sense, she's been the boss of the family and of the firm. And that's been her remarkable achievement. And yesterday, it was her family gathering round her bedside, but also her successors, her heirs. The now King Charles, of course, William is now heir, and under him, Prince George. And that also is the Queen's achievement, that she's ensured the succession. And with, you know, popular, I think relatively popular right now, at least, heirs. And that image of the Queen with Charles and Camilla and the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge and their children at the end of the Jubilee celebrations was a very deliberate, curated image to show the Queen's signalling of the future, of the passing of her authority, and hopefully the respect and affection that people have had for her to the next generation. And that's, of course, where we are today.
How significant is her role in the broader Commonwealth? Because she is the head of state, of course, of more than just the UK, and seems to have almost uniquely been able to navigate a post-colonial role for the UK and for the monarchy beyond British shores.
Yeah, I mean, she's head of the Commonwealth as an organisation, and that's been really important to her, an organisation that grew out of the end of empire. And yeah, I mean, she's overseen this period of decolonisation, and has been a means by which Britain has retained a position in the world that's really beyond its power now without the colonies. But she still had that potency, and so she's given Britain a position that, in a sense, has punched above its weight. The Commonwealth as a family of nations has been really important to the Queen. She's head of that organisation. And the meeting, the Chogham meeting a number of years ago, she made it clear that she would love her son to succeed her, because as head of the Commonwealth, that's not to do with the UK monarchy. Any head of state could inherit the position as head of the organisation. But approval at that point was granted for Charles to succeed her as head of the Commonwealth. But the role of the Commonwealth and Charles's relationship with it, of course, is going to be very important, and it remains to be seen whether he can retain the unique bonds, really, between Britain and those countries all around the world that the Queen managed to command through the Commonwealth.
And when we talk about unique bonds and unique relationships, there's probably none more in the national psyche here than the relationship in respect of Northern Ireland, which in her latter years, she was very significant in building a sense of unity and a sense of a potential of a lasting peace.
Absolutely. I mean, by appropriate words, appropriate times, appropriate visits, signalling reconciliation, she played a very important role. And that's when we talk about the Queen as being this apolitical figure in a constitutional monarchy. That doesn't mean that she hasn't had political influence just by her presence. And I think the example of Northern Ireland is exactly that.
Which was done without a lack of personal sacrifice on her behalf, because to swallow the memory of the loss of the family favourite Lord Mountbatten and make no mention of it and seek to be forgiving was a personally challenging thing, one imagines.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is ultimately that balance between the personal and the job, the family and the firm, doing the right thing for the country, even at personal cost and sacrifice. Was exactly what the Queen navigated and did so well during her reign, that sense of duty. The fact that, you know, she performed the important task of appointing a new Prime Minister just a couple of days before her death, when one can imagine she was, in pain or clearly coming to the end of her life. But, for her, it was all about duty, and she showed that right to the end.
Anna, thank you very much. That is Professor Anna Whitelock, who is Professor of the History of Monarchy at City University of London and Director of the Centre for the Study of Monarchy. 53106 if you want to get in touch with the show, or of course you can tweet at PatKennyNT. Queen Elizabeth, of course, the UK's longest serving monarch, dying yesterday at Balmoral, aged 96. Her reign spanned 70 years. Henry McKean is in London for us, and he met these people from across the Commonwealth outside Buckingham Palace and sent us this report.
I'm outside Buckingham Palace, and there's a few hundred people here from around the world, not just from London. Flowers, and people really are in a kind of somber mood. A child has made a sign that says, "Rest in peace, Queen Kong." And we've got the Queen on top of Big Ben.
For me, it's definitely different because not being British, but seeing this in person is definitely surreal. I mean, she's been a tribute for generations. I mean, for all my life, she's been the Queen, for all my parents' life. So it's definitely a unique experience to experience this in person, and it's sad. I mean, I saw the news today and I honestly didn't even believe it.
You're from England. She is the Queen of England, but you could say she was everyone's queen. You're young. You're in your 20s. How do you feel?
Yeah. When I read the news, I didn't feel like it was real. But now walking down here, being amongst everyone who's just kind of low and like slowly reading all the tributes on the walls and looking at the flowers. It very much feels like we're all in this kind of together, and it's just a collective like act. And like I don't know, like it's everything's changed. Like no one really knows what it was like before or what it's going to be like after. So it's kind of confusion and sadness at the same time. So, yeah.
And are you used to calling Charles King Charles yet?
Definitely not.
Well, for as long as I've been on this planet, the Queen has always been the Queen. You know, so she's always been here, and she's always been, you know, a British institution. You know, that's always been here. Well, I think in terms of, you know, what you'd consider to be a figurehead, you know, very effective. My family come from Barbados. You know, I remember being in Barbados when the Queen came and visited, and you know, I remember seeing people in my family, you know, some of them saluted the TV set. I remember, you know, the island shut down really because people were really excited at, you know, seeing the Queen. But it's interesting that Barbados actually this year we broke with the with Britain and we got rid of the Queen as our head of state. We actually became a republic, you know. So maybe the timing was a bit unfortunate, but you know.
Mm-hmm. And you have a new Queen, don't you? A pop star.
You're talking about Rihanna. Well, yeah, Rihanna does what she does, you know, she's very good at it. I would say that, you know, on a deeper level, the loss that this country suffered through the passing of the Queen, looking at, you know, the scandal, for example, with her son, Princess Andrew, and looking at, you know, Prince Harry saying, listen, I want no part of this, I'm taking my wife and my children and I'm going across the world to get away from this. I think her passing away is that last link to the innocence of the royal family, people having them as an institution that they could really trust in.
And the dignity.
And the dignity. I think now it's a done deal for this institution, my opinion. You know, I don't think Charles, there'll be...
He is king now.
He's king, and you know, he's an old king, and there's going to be a degree of, you know, support and rallying around him. But I think the national malaise of this country, with Liz Truss coming in and old Liz going out, coming at the same time, I think on a deeper symbolic level, this is a definite changing of the guard of this country. And, you know, she represented the old Britain that you could trust, that had a value system that was respected. Now what comes next? Who knows? Who knows?
You're from Hong Kong. Up until 1997, she was your queen. You've come down to pay your respects.
I mean, it's good to be here and like just experience it.
The flag is at half mast. The rain has stopped. There was quite a bit of rain here outside Buckingham Palace.
All I know, you know, as a queen, so to now kind of, she was stable, she was consistent, she was like just the history behind her and what she's achieved and what she was all about was just, I just can't see anyone replacing her, if you know what I mean. So I kind of feel like it's definitely the end of an era, but it's just...
So huge shoes to fill, and you don't think King Charles can fill those?
He'll make his own legacy in time. You know, I've thought about this moment for quite a long time actually, and thought about like how tragic it will be when she's gone. And I just wanted to come down and pay my respects.
It just felt like the right thing to
do.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Politics speaks to the rational mind, but it has nothing to say of the heart and the imagination, and that's what the monarchy does, and the Queen embodied all of that.
So the Queen is a very important person to us. We would not be here without us. I mean, she gave the opportunity to everyone around the world to come and, you know, given, you know, opportunity to people from abroad to come and live in the United Kingdom, to work here, you know, stay here, live here, and basically gave us freedom.
So with the Commonwealth and, you know, with your Pakistani heritage, you feel that the Queen opened so many doors?
Of course, yeah, exactly.
The Queen's been on the reign since I was born.
When we heard the news, it was kind of like we all were like, we have to come here for historical.
You had to come to Buckingham Palace.
Yes, historical.
There's a surreal atmosphere, and I can see the balcony where the Queen would stand on major state events. And just recently, when she celebrated her Platinum Jubilee, she'll no longer be up on that balcony.
Henry McKean reporting live there from, or reporting for us, I should say, from London. And there are crowds already gathering outside Buckingham Palace in London, many of them wearing black. There's flowers being laid outside the castle in Balmoral. And the reports are that the new King Charles is due to travel back to London from Balmoral this morning. And he is due to make a televised address to the nation later on in the day. The Queen's remains will then be taken to London on Tuesday, and the official word is that there will be a 7-day period of mourning which will follow the funeral.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish your outdoor wood projects with Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Australian Timber Oil is an exterior stain that provides maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency, making it ideal for decks, siding, outdoor furniture, and more. Save big money at Menards on Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.